Welcome to CJ's R&B Music Lounge. I'm your host, Tanisha, and I am excited that you guys are tuning in on tonight. We have an amazing show lined up for you guys, and we're going to have a great artist. The artist's name is Kesh. He's going to come up later in the show, and he's going to be promoting his new release with us. We always have our segment with Ask Dr. Farmer. Dr. Farmer is a licensed coach and counselor, and we always have you guys to email your questions in and your comments for Dr. Farmer. Dr. Farmer is with the Jaffa Group, and you can email him at james.farmer@att.net. Well, I look forward to having a wonderful time with you guys. I hope you had an amazing, wonderful day, and I want to just be able to help you guys relax, unwind, and just get into the music zone. We're going to go ahead, and we're going to hear a song by Toni Braxton, and it's called All the Way Home.
Don't even know what we're fighting for, but damn it. baby, all I can do is just you and me, girl. We spent time and time again in what we've been through it all. We all fighting for the same cause, cause we love you. We love, girl, I know how it goes. Space between us makes it harder than ever before. But these moments are to treasure. So whenever we are close, we can't expect to make the most of what it is we share. Let's take it there without a care.
Light. I'll take you there. Faces of Success Radio. Your choice, your voice radio. You can log in at www.blogtalkradio.com/Faces of Success Radio or call in and listen to speak to our special guest at 718-664-6324. For your special appearance on our show, call 1-866-458-5523, extension 101. Sure to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Faces of Success Radio. Your choice, your voice radio.
It's TJ's R&B Music Lounge.
Welcome back to TJ's R&B Music Lounge. I'm your host, Tanisha, and you are listening to Neo, and that was Let Me Love You. Well, it's about that time for us to go ahead and have that segment with Dr. Farmer. We have a segment every week, which is entitled Ask Dr. Farmer. Dr. Farmer, he will give you tools and words of inspiration to help you with certain life situations. So I'm going to go ahead and let Dr. Farmer introduce himself to you guys.
Hello, I'm Dr. Farmer. I'm a developmental coach, licensed psychotherapist, and a professional counselor, and I work in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I have a private practice, and I love doing workshops and seminars, and I'm just excited about being on Tanisha's show because I just get a thrill out of just, you know, sharing different tools that some of you may be able to use. So thank you again, Tanisha, for having me on your show.
Well, you're welcome. And I want the listeners to know you can reach Dr. Farmer at james.farmer@att.net. He's not just, you know, for us here in the DFW area. He is able to be reached with an email and just give him your contact information. He does phone counseling and phone sessions for you guys. And I know he has some amazing discounts going on right now. So if you need to contact us, Dr. Farmer, it's james.farmer@att.net. So what are we going to be talking about on tonight, Dr. Farmer?
We're going to be talking a little bit about a book of mine that should be coming out in the fall called Building Authentic Self-Esteem. I thought I would make it a two-part series here where I talk about, first of all, kind of the problem, and then next week I'll share a few strategies for building authentic self-esteem. So this is an area of mine that's, actually I've been working in this area quite a long time. Once I found out that I had low self-esteem, I just had to figure out how to build it. And so this is what I want to be sharing to your listeners, because there may be a few of them out there that might be suffering from some of this, and they're not aware of it. So I'm excited about sharing some of my information, and then hopefully in the fall they'll get an opportunity to buy the whole book and just kind of really work with themselves. So.
Okay, well, I'm really excited to see what we're going to be hearing about tonight.
Okay, I'll just start, all right?
Okay.
I thought maybe what I first do is just share how I came into contact with self-esteem. It was not anything I was looking for. I basically knew that I had, you know, we all hear those voices in our head, you know, you can't do this, this isn't going to work out for you. You'll fail if you try this. Nobody likes you. You didn't meet their approval. All those kind of voices I used to just hear in my head back in you know, elementary school, middle school, high school. And I just basically thought that they were just part of what I was hearing, you know. And I never did check with other folks to see if they heard those kind of voices. But I know that as I got older, I wasn't really feeling that great about myself. I wasn't really liking myself as much as I thought I should, or at least when I did a comparison between where I was and where others people seemed to be, I didn't seem to be there. So I grew up, I did most of the things that most kids do. They just basically, you know, go out for sports, they excel at it. You go and get into your career, or at that time I went into college and tried to get a degree in something, and I thought all of that would make me feel good. And along the way, I decided to buy a car, and I got married and had a nice home, had a nice family, a church-going guy. But I still, inside, didn't like myself, and I didn't know what that was about. I started trying to read self-improvement books, hoping to come across something that would tell me what I could do to make this work. And so as time would go, I just couldn't quite put that piece together. You know, I like myself, but not 100%, not even 60%. But yet I was able to still move forward, and I kept saying, you know, I got a new car. Certainly I should feel good about that. Or I did well in athletics. You know, I'm a jock. I should feel good about that. But I didn't. I didn't. People would cheer me on, but I couldn't cheer my own self on. And so I had an opportunity to happen to run some material that talked about self-esteem. And I said, you know, I think I'm going to go and meet this guy. And I did. I went to meet him, and I said, you know, this self-esteem thing they call it, is it really a problem? He said, yeah, a lot of people have it, don't know it. And I said, well, I don't know whether I have it or not. Can you give me some kind of a profile or test or whatever that would show me whether or not I have this problem? And he did. Don Williams gave me an instrument. It was a very brief instrument. Took me about maybe 15, 20 minutes to fill out. And I gave it to him, and then he went and checked it and analyzed it. And then I said, well, you know, what's there? Can you tell me about my self-esteem? And he kind of looked at me and said, you know, I've never seen anybody had self-esteem this low. And I said, low? How low is it? And at that time, it was a 100-point item test, and he said, you hit 10. And I had to sit down and catch my breath. I said, 10. That didn't have a whole lot of meaning to me, but then again, it did. On a 100-point item test, and I hit 10. And I said, well, what can I do to improve this? Because I can't continue like this. I gotta get my self-esteem up. And so I knew I had to get it up, but I didn't know how. Now, I'm sharing something that really happened to me. This is not made up just for this show. This really happened to me, and it's also in the book. And so I went through a two-day workshop, and I still was a little in disbelief that my self-esteem could be so low, and the two-day workshop was going to turn me around. And so I went through, and there was a lot of people in that class. You know, I was surprised with people who had suits and you know, titles and so forth that would be suffering from the same thing that I suffered from. And so we all went through it a little skeptical. And afterwards, there was a follow-along program, which took about 10 weeks. We had to listen to a series of tapes. It was three, at that time they called them audio tapes. CDs weren't really in. There was one little book that we had to read, and then there were some cards that affirmations we had to say for 10 weeks. Every day, twice a day, took about maybe 15 minutes to get through at morning and then at night before you went to bed. And so I went through that, and within about 3 to 4 weeks, I started noticing a major change in my life. And I went on and completed the 10 weeks, and then after that, you know, my self-esteem was up around 100%. So all my friends know how to deal with me because they were so used to dealing with someone who couldn't make eye contact, talked with a very soft voice, always kind of cleared his throat. And now I'm standing, you know, 7 feet tall, looking you directly in the eye and saying exactly what I wanted to say, you know, and meaning what I said. And so that kind of a dramatic effect on me. Now, I'm not trying to sell that program. I'm just trying to tell you my experience with it because we're going to get into something that I've developed as a result. So from there, I decided to hold on to the program. I said, if it's done this in 10 weeks, I'm going to play this for 2 years, and I did. I stayed on that program for 2 years because I didn't ever want to drop as low as I dropped in my self-esteem. It was very, very low. You know, if there's a level below depression, I went there. And so I said, this is never going to happen to me again. Circumstances are never going to beat me down anymore. And so for 2 years, I stayed on a program that was for 10 weeks. And I also changed the voice on that tape, and I read my voice into the audio tape. And so here I was hearing me talk to me or give me affirmations probably the last 8 months before the tape broke. And so at that time, Mr. Williams had left my home state and moved down to Dallas, Texas, and 20 years would go by, and I still use the program. I like the program. I tried to learn as much as I could, but I never would. And so 20 years later, when I ended up in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, I wanted to look up Mr. Williams because I wanted him to see what this program had done for me. And so I knocked on his door, and he came to the door, and he remembered me. You know, and we came in, and we sat out 9 o'clock in the morning. His wife was leaving out to go to work. When she came back at 5, we were still in the same chairs in the kitchen talking because he couldn't believe that I was the same guy that walked in that had such low self-esteem, and now, you know, I was just at 100% and consistently there. Now, I share that because I thought I was okay, you know, with 2 graduate degrees, car, job, family. My wife was a teacher. I had all of it. I had the American dream. So why would I be walking around with low self-esteem? And so that's when I decided to make it a part of one of my specialty areas that I wanted to look at. And they don't have that program anymore. It's called the Barksdale Self-Esteem Program. But it literally saved my life. And as a result, I think just people that sell it here and there over the online and so forth, but to go through the kind of training. So what Don asked me 2 or 3 times, he said, would you teach this, James? And I said, no, I'm not going to teach it because people like to hold on to their low self-esteem. People do not want to change, and I don't want to teach it. I enjoy feeling good. I'm on a natural high every day. And so he asked me about 3 times, and then he passed away maybe about 3 years ago. And so it came back to me that maybe I should take a look at this. And so I started experimenting with it. I'd invite a few people over, and most of them had a short attention span, and they really couldn't get into the program. And I said the difference between them and me was that I was desperate. I was looking for something, and a lot of folks aren't desperate in looking for something. I didn't want to learn how to live with depression or suicidal thoughts or just, you know, beating myself down mentally. I didn't want to live like that. Some people do, and that's fine. You know, I don't try to go out and change anybody, but I wanted to live a different life. I wanted to operate, you know, there's a saying that we only operate 10% of our potential. I wanted to go for that other 90%, but I had to have the kind of self-esteem that would get me there, and I didn't have it. You know, if you're at 10, you know, as low as I was, you're going to need at least about 90% to get you to where you can utilize your full potential. So it became a personal journey for me. And what came out of it was I decided to design my own program. I wrote my own book and then put together my own CDs, and all that's coming out this fall. And so I'm going to be stealing from myself from some of the stuff that I wrote that I want to share with your listeners because they may or may not know that they have it. You know, now I don't have that instrument to give to them. I went on to design my own instrument, but I do have some categories and things that I can share with them, and they can kind of just sit there and listen and decide whether or not they're someone that have low self-esteem. So I want to first begin with what is authentic self-esteem. And it's basically about, you know, it's something that operates on an unconscious level. It operates there, and it's about how warm and loving you feel about yourself. It's not an intellectual examination, but basically it's kind of turning inward and looking at your assets and your liabilities inside. And, again, do you like yourself? Measuring that, not comparing it with other people, but you asking you, do I like who I am? Am I happy with myself? Or am I sad with myself? And then self-esteem is authentic. You either believe that you are a good person or you believe that you're not. And people who have low self-esteem don't really believe that they're a good person, a nice person, or anybody could really like them. Now, what it is not, And I have to admit, before I looked into this area, I thought a little bit. I thought I knew what it was. I thought I was buying things, you know. But it's not an image booster. That's what we see, people buying new cars and homes and jewelry. All of this to try to make themselves feel good. It may temporarily make them feel good, but there's not going to be any permanence for increasing the self-esteem. Money and self-esteem does not equal happiness. When you look at some of our Hollywood actors, some become, you know, drug addicts, experience unhappy marriages, and even commit suicide. In fact, they have what we call crippling self-esteem. Many of them believe material wealth will hide misery. And they're trying to, you know, buy happiness and sell an image to the public that they're, again, very happy. And we just found out from an actor that we just lost that from all the money, all the shows, all the glory that he obtained, that it still didn't make him happy. So why does this whole thing, self-esteem, really matter? And I guess probably the best way to say is that, and I'm going to put it in my words, if you don't get yourself together and increase your self-esteem, what you do is you end up passing it on to your children. Let me say that again. If you have low self-esteem, you will pass that on to your children. And then your children will pass it on to their children. They're going to believe this is how you operate in this kind of culture, in this kind of society. This is how you deal with a particular problem. So just to get, hit rock bottom with that, if you have it, your children will have it. I did a study a number of years ago where I looked at mothers' self-esteem, the mothers in the community self-esteem, and then I looked at the children's self-esteem. And in every case, if the mother had low self-esteem, her children had low self-esteem. So what I'm saying, folks, is that if you can do something about it, change it. But some of you are asking me, okay, let's get more specific here, Dr. Farmer. Give me some physical characteristics that I can be on the lookout for so I can check out myself and check out my children. That's what I'm going to do. If you have one or more of these things, you probably have low self-esteem. Let me begin with the list I put together. Inability to make direct eye contact. You're going to come into contact with people that look down all the time. I mean, I used to, you know, if you were talking to me, I looked down at the floor. That is a signal that that person may have low self-esteem. Sloppy appearance for a job interview. You know, if you got to go for a job interview, you need to dress up nicely like you want to get the job. If you go in there sloppy, you're not going to get it. I can share with you a time when I went in for a job interview, and the whole time I looked toward the floor and never looked at the interviewer. And he finally asked me, he says, "Why are you looking at the floor so much?" And I said, "Because I don't believe I'm going to get the job." And then he was such a nice guy. We went and we explored my belief that I would not get the job, and then I ended up getting the job. A person who habitually make excuses. Here's another one. Those who live below their potential. There's a book I have called You Are Your Own Worst Enemy, written by Dr. Christensen, I believe his name. And in that book, he talks about people who live below their potential. They start making adjustments, making excuses, and so forth. Those who play safe when he or she should move ahead, then there are those who settle for less. Blaming others for their problems, hiding from taking actions, arguing and complaining. If you're around somebody who constantly argues and complains, you need to take a look at this. If this person had authentic self-esteem or high self-esteem, there would not be a need to argue and complain all the time. And, of course, if a person is excessively silly. Now, I just went through some of the physical characteristics, personality traits. They might be timid and withdrawn. Some are depressed. Some are very hypersensitive and easily hurt by others, especially by words. folks who are emotional and overeaters. Let me say that again. People who are emotional and overeaters may be suffering from low self-esteem. Boastful individuals, I'm this, I'm that, and let me tell you who I met, and let me, people are low self-esteem people. The need to dominate a conversation, people who do constant name droppers, a lot of politicians do name droppers. If I tell you who I associate with, maybe you'll think highly of me too, that type of attitude. Compulsive smokers, I've seen people just smoke one cigarette after the other, especially when the research is out that says if you smoke cigarettes, it is linked to cancer, and people are still smoking. Rescuers, if you're one of those that tend to just rescue all your friends and so forth when they have problems, but your friends never take your advice, they never get better, but they just go from one problem to the other problem, and you're there to rescue them, you need to take a look at yourself. Over-religious people. There are some people so overly religious that you can't communicate with them. They may be suffering from low self-esteem. Impulsive perfectionists. They got to be perfect in every way. People who are desperate for attention and dress extremely sexy. Procrastinators, and those who are constantly straightening out people or I want to get it off my chest type of person. The last category I want to just briefly say something about is psychological characteristics. Those who feel uncomfortable all the time around people. There's sometimes people just don't feel comfortable being around people, and they're not able to get in touch with that. I don't feel comfortable with this. I don't feel comfortable with that. I have met people who have titles, degrees, who don't feel comfortable around people. Those who constantly find fault. If you're around somebody and it seems like you can't do anything right and they're constantly finding fault, they may have a self-esteem problem. People who are hard on themselves, or people who are hungry for recognition and approval. People who live through their children. I'm going to make my 2-year-old son, he's going to be a pilot someday. Or my 2-year-old daughter is going to be a gymnast and she's going to go to the Olympics. And I'm going to start her at 2 years away. And they just literally live through that child. That child never has a chance to have a normal life. And, of course, those people who are jealous, distrustful, and dislike others, all of these are symptoms, you might say, that are riddled with low self-esteem that will handicap you. Now, you'll probably be asking me, wow, you know, I checked off at least 2 or 3 of those, you know. So does that mean I have low self-esteem? I don't know. I don't know. I'm just giving you some categories to kind of check off, to check out yourself. But the next question, which is the last question that you should be asking me is why, or yourself, asking yourself, why do I hold on to low self-esteem? If I have it, why do I hold on to it? Why haven't I let it go? And I want to respond to that before I go. And I'll give you some information on that. Sometimes people just fear changing and learning something new. They have such a fear of it that it's easier to them to just hold on than to let go. They are afraid of the unknown. Or people hold on to low self-esteem when they're emotionally fighting a situation that they don't want to accept. Part of my role when I work with people is, again, to teach them to let go and to try to get them to a point where they don't emotionally fight a reality. Why do people hold on to low self-esteem is what I'm talking about. Blaming self, others, and circumstances will keep you in low self-esteem. Possessing values, beliefs, and so forth. Do you realize, yes, we all have values, we have important values, but you can have a distorted value. For example, a good value would be I want to work for a living, go out, work 8 hours a day, do a good job, put 40 hours in a week. That's a good value. What would be the distorted value? I don't want to work. I think I'm going to take it from other people who do work. There's a lot of people in our culture who have distorted values and beliefs. And then there are those, the reason why they call up in low self-esteem is because they have no purpose or mission. These are the people I call the drifters. They're just drifting around. I'm sure right now you can identify at least five people around you that are drifters and don't have any purpose in their life. Let me take a second and let you kind of think of a few folks. Five. Give me five people that you know around you that are drifters and have no purpose. You don't have to be a psychologist to figure that one out. You can name them off the top of your head. You know who they are. Check out your brother. Check out your cousins, your relatives, coworkers, friends. Bingo, you got it. You got your five. Okay, then it's those who react first before thinking through a situation. They literally react first, make a fool out of themselves, and then try to analyze it. Playing safe rather than taking risk. Or there are those who have low self-esteem and hold on to it because of setbacks. It seems like one setback after the other just basically knocks them out the ballpark. You've heard that song, if it ain't one thing, it's another. That's kind of their main song that goes through their head. They're trying to get themselves braced in order to deal with the next setback, but psychologically they've been destroyed. And then it's those who've been driven by negative attitude, or you've surrounded yourself with toxic people who think like you do. They can't build you or give you positive because they think negative like you do, so it keeps you down. Or those who put things off for tomorrow, or seeing luck as an option. Just a few more. Then it's those who lack following through with their assignment, or they're mentally and emotionally dependent on others, and those who refuse to take charge of their life. All of these things can become a problem and hold you back from having authentic self-esteem. What I want to talk about next time is the road to building authentic self-esteem. You might say, well, boy, you really laid out, you know, all the different areas that you can be affected by low self-esteem, and I'm sure some of you are checking it out, you know, whether or not, you know, how you measure up. But I'm not going to just leave you like that. I want to also talk about how to build it. I mean the real deal, because I went through it a number of years ago. I suffered tremendously behind it, and I've spent a good portion of my life just figuring out how do you build self-esteem when the odds are against you. When you're dealing with human storms every day, when you got to get up out of bed, you got bills on you, and you don't have a job, how do you stay positive? And so we're going to talk about some of the things that I came up with. I'm not going to give you all of them. I'll give you a few strategies that you can immediately put together or put in use, and hopefully it'll make you feel better where you don't have to go out and look for some kind of substance to make you feel good, but you can get into your Bible, you can get into your own mind, your own head, and start building yourself. That's what I want to do, is give you some tools that you can immediately use to make you feel good about yourself. I stay on a natural high every day. I don't need any drugs. Don't need a booster. I just get up, no matter what kind of storm or human storm is going on around me, I make sure I'm stabilized, and then I deal with it as it comes. So thank you for listening. I'm still waiting to hear from some folks on email me, james.farmer@att.net. email me, let me know, what you think of some of the things I'm saying, or let me know if you've tried some of the tools and whether you found them successful or not successful. I'm open to hearing what you want to say. So I will see you next week on the Tanisha Show. And goodbye, everybody.
Okay. Well, thank you again, Dr. Farmer, for being on the show. You said some great things, and I hope you listeners had your pen and paper available. If you didn't, you can email Dr. Farmer at james.farmer@acc.net. Like I said, you can also have, a private counseling session or just be able to speak to Dr. Farmer. Just leave your contact information with him, and he will get back with you. And, be able to discuss some things with you. We're going to go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we'll get ready to have our exclusive interview with the artist that's called Cash. So we'll be right back with you.
Access Radio. Your choice, your voice radio. You can log in at www.blogtalkradio.com/Faces of Success Radio or call in and listen to speak to our special guest at 718-664-6324. For your special appearance on our show, call 1-866-458-5523, extension 101. Sure to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Faces of Success Radio. Your choice, your voice radio.
It's TJ's R&B Music Lounge.
Welcome back to TJ's R&B Music Lounge. I'm your host, Tanisha. And that song was by Jill Scott. It was called Golden, and it was a remix. Well, it's about that time for us to have our special guest come on the line. And I am just excited to be able to have this exclusive interview. I'm going to go ahead and let my guest introduce themselves to you guys. Hey, how are you doing on today?
Good. Hey, everyone. My name's Cash. How's it going out there?
Okay. I wanted to thank you for being a part of the show on tonight.
Oh, yeah, no problem. My pleasure. Really great to be here in your lounge. So, what should we talk about?
I could barely hear, I'm sorry.
I said, so what should we talk about?
Okay. Well, I wanted you to tell the listeners a little bit about you and where they can find your music as well.
Okay. I'm basically a new act. My name's Kesh, K-E-S-H, and I was recently signed with Jadar Entertainment Music Group, and it's kind of a soul, indie, R&B sound, and right now we're working on tracks. So there isn't a lot out there yet of this kind of new project, but if what you can hear, you can go to the Jadar website, J-A-D-A-R, Jadar Entertainment, and look me up. I'm on their roster, Kesh, and that's basically it. There's a track out that called Let It Rain that we put out, and we're on a new track called All the Time, which we're really excited about. It has kind of a smooth jazz feel to it, very Anita Baker. Too strange considering I'm a guy, but actually it's not so strange when you hear it. I think people will like it. I mean, I hope people will like it. That's probably the first place you can find me. Let's see. We're going to be, the big news is I'm going to be playing with Macy Gray on Friday in Newport Beach at Hyatt. If anybody's a Macy Gray fan, and I know there are a lot of them out there, you should come down. I'm going to be back to baby band, which means I'm first, and I'm going to come out and sing a couple songs. And I'll be opening for Lena, who's also on Jadar, and she's amazing. She's kind of like really played Jill Scott, very similar sound, very similar vibe. And what else is there to say? Yeah, and Macy Gray, so woohoo.
Well, that's exciting, and I guess where can listeners find out more about that event as well?
I'm sorry, what was that question about that event?
I was saying where could the listeners find out about that particular event that you're going to be having?
Oh, okay, so that event is this Friday night in Newport Beach at the Hyatt, and you can go also to the Jadar website, or you can go to Macy Gray's website. I believe, though, I've heard the show is sold out, but I bet you can get tickets. Isn't that great? So this is my first show, too, with Kesh, as the Project Kesh. So, I mean, it's like trial by fire for me.
Well, congratulations. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really amazing, considering, like, you know, a few weeks ago I was in Philadelphia just kind of mucking around. Now I'm going to be like, whoa, on this big stage with Grammy-winning artists.
Right.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, that is truly amazing, and I am just so excited for you. I want you listeners to check out the social media and website information he gave you. If you didn't get that information, we will give you that information once again at the end of the show. Also, I just wanted to go ahead and kind of start our little interview right about now. And so
okay.
I wanted to ask you, when did you know that you had a passion for music and that you wanted to, you know, pursue music?
Well, you know, like every artist or musician, you're sort of born with it, I guess. I've always known, always been a singer, that's for sure. You know, and I think early on I had quite an ordinary sound, ordinary voice, and then I just worked really hard at trying to find my own way. It took me a while, and I went to music school here in Los Angeles, and that helped, you know, just to learn the rudiments of music and to be exposed to so many different types, because in school you've got classical and you've got jazz and you've got next to heavy metal, next to rock and roll, next to soul, next to R&B. So that was really great, you know, it's just like a sponge trying to soak everything up. And hopefully I did. For about 6 years I had a band, kind of an alt rock band around town called Garland, and that's where I really found my sound, you know. We played in a lot of places. We played like the Viper Room and House of Blues, and played over in Silver Lake at the Silver Lake Lounge, Echo, the Echoplex, Spaceland, which is now the Satellite. So yeah, I mean, we really got out there, and that's actually how I was heard. J-Dar heard me. We were playing in IMS Showcase. And they approached me. They said, you know, we really like your style. Would you be interested in singing something a little different than what you're doing? And, you know, we clicked, and it just kind of happened. So
well,
so that's kind of how it brought me to singing, like, R&B soul.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's amazing that you shared that, because it gives that listener that's out there that may be pursuing music, you know, the hope to know, you know what I'm doing, it really will pay off in the long run, because, you know, it's about pursuing your dream and putting in that energy and effort and that time. And so what would you share with a listener that's out there that is, you know, in the same situation that you were, pursuing your music and, you know, trying to do everything and make it to this particular point where you are now?
Okay, well, I don't want to give anybody, like, you know, fake info, because what I found is, you know, it is a struggle to be an artist in this economic climate. It's a struggle. I mean, just to come to a city, or last year I was living in a smaller city, and it's the same. It was a music city. I was in Philadelphia, and you've got brilliant musicians there, but it's a struggle to have a job and have a live, you know, and you keep your hopes through that, because even that sometimes can kill you. Just the fact that you're stuck in a job that you're really not into, and but you've got to in order to have a place to live, you know. So that's really hard. And then to pursue your dream, yeah, it's really difficult. I would say try to make, it's all about relationships. Try to make connections with other players, and then once you've done that and you feel it, because unless you can totally go out there and just be like your own solo act, and good for you, that's brilliant if you can. I mean, I couldn't. I always needed other players, even to write with or bounce off of. And anyway, I like that. Early on when I first started the band, I had like 8 members, sometimes 12 in the band, because I really like having other people, you know, some people will be playing crazy little instruments and bringing little parts. So I would say it's about relationships and keeping the hope of relationships alive, not burning those bridges just because you have conflict of interests or dumb little fights over things. And then I think the other thing is to get out there and do it. Just go out and try to get gigs for no pay, or if you have to pay to play in the beginning, just do it, you know. And that's another reason why, like, oh God, you got to have a job and pay the rent and have food, and now I got to put it into my dream. And well, you have to, you know, or because that to me is, you've got to get out there and do it and keep going. Is the other thing, which is also the struggle, because it's like sort of one disappointment, and then something happens, and then the wheel of fortune turns, and then it's a disappointment again. So that would be my advice on it, but I don't know. I'm still struggling along myself, you know, trying to make it, as they say, make it, you know. Anyway, that's what I would say.
Well, I'm glad that you Yes, I'm glad you were able to be honest and open with the listeners to share that. So like you said, you wouldn't give them false hopes. They understand, you know, what they're going into with music and, you know, with their new career. So I'm glad that you were able to be open and honest and share your own experience. I wanted to ask, what separates you from other artists?
My unique vocal ability, which sounds like some kind of line, but, you know, listen, in the last 10 years, the music, the whole music thing has really changed from what it was in the 90s with the advent of digital and everything and CDs going down. And the other thing I would say is that, you know, all those TV shows, although they're great at finding new talent, in a way they've turned what was once like kind of about artists into this whole sort of competition thing, which I don't think is right. I don't think it's real. I don't think people should do that, you know, and it's all for this one little brass dream. But in the meantime, what it's done is it's brought millions and millions of singers into like LA and to the forefront. And so then it's like, well, you know, what do I have that's unique? Well, I still have my my unique style, which isn't, you don't hear every day and you don't kind of see all over the place. And that's what I would say kind of makes me stand out still. Maybe not my writing or my playing skills, because I'm not the greatest guitar player or greatest keyboard player, but I'm still a pretty awesome singer and a really awesome interpreter too, which I think is important.
Okay. And so the next question I'll ask you is, who is your music inspiration as well as your inspiration in your life?
Well, there's a lot of that. In this kind of music I'm singing, this sort of soul, I have to always go back to the classics. People like Jackie Wilson had the most amazing voice. And if you don't believe me, you can go to YouTube and listen to Jackie Wilson sing Danny Boy. I have never heard anybody sing it like that, man. Sam Cooke is also a great inspiration. And Smokey Robinson. These people had great, great voices. You know, it seems to me that, like, modern music, which is sort of like the starting in the 60s, I know rock and roll and blues go back further and soul goes back further, but sort of modern music is like the 60s, and you've either got, like, the Beatles on the rock and roll side or you've got Motown on the other side. And so the kind of singing I'm doing now is more Motown-y, so I would say those people I just mentioned are, like, my inspirations. For life inspiration, far too many to, like, even go into because, you know, different people for different circumstances. How's that?
Right, okay. And so what do you want your legacy to be with your music?
My legacy? Oh, I just want people to be exposed to it, hear the songs, like the songs, maybe have some hits.
Okay. I had the pleasure of hearing your song. It was entitled All the Time. And so I wanted to kind of ask about that and how you came up with that project and, you know, when people should be able to hear that and find that and where all that kind of information.
Okay. Well, All the Time is one of the new songs I'm working with Jadar on. Basically, when they heard me singing with Garland, they said, you know, we really like your sound. We'd like you to maybe change it up and if you're going to work for us and do it this kind of soul sound, this kind of indie R&B sound. And I was like, yeah, you know. And so basically a kind of tweaked version of R&B. They sent me some tunes, and even though I wasn't sure that I could sing them, I was a little adrift, I tried it. I just went into the studio, and we tried it, and it worked, and that was it. They decided, okay, we'll have that.
Okay. Well, I like how you shared that, and I want to just tell the listeners, just like he said, he was a little uncomfortable seeing some of the stuff, but he just tried it. So I believe if you just try certain things that you may not have tried before, that may be a door, an opportunity, you know, for you as well as your in your music career. Would you agree with that?
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Even now, you know, I was playing a new cut from stuff we worked on, and, you know, my best buddy here, he's playing blues in the background. He didn't like it at all. You know, he was like, no, I don't like that. And, you know, that's hit and miss. Some of his opinion is really, like, valuable. Like, yeah, okay, I see what you mean. Other parts, no, that's because I'm trying something, and I quite reached, I mean, and it's good that you're pointing that out, but it's going, oh, this is horrible, and I quit. It's like, no, I'm going to go back and try again. And, you know, if you have talent, you have to go out there and try and just kind of polish it up.
Right. And
yeah,
I love
so
how
it's the same with, like you said, about getting out there. And once you do have that, you feel like you have a sound and you have some players to play with, then you have to try and go out there and get shows. You have to go out there and promote your shows. You have to try and connect. And it all seems like so easy to, when people who are successes talk about it, like, well, it was just so easy. Well, it's not so easy. It's like a lot of work, but you've got to try.
Right. Well, I love how even – oh, go ahead.
The other, which leads me actually to the next thing that I wanted to talk about is I'm doing a show on September 7th for the National Suicide Prevention Week. Don Cornelius is doing it, and the reason I brought that up is because, you know, sometimes the things that stop us from trying is depression and all kinds of issues we have with, like, ourselves and the world and stuff. So I know how hard it is. Anyway, the Don Cornelius Foundation asked me to come and sing for their show. It's being sponsored by Pat Prescott from 94.7 The Wave. And I thought it was a really good thing to do, considering how we're all kind of sensitive people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I love how you pointed out earlier in the interview where you knew what your strengths were when you were saying, you know, you're good with you know, your uniquenesses with your style of singing. And, you know, you knew it wasn't with your writing and your playing. And so I think that would be another good thing for an artist to know is what's their strength and what separates them from other artists so they can, you know, strengthen that particular craft and area.
Yeah, you have to know yourself. You have to know yourself, and that's true in life too. Because once you start putting stuff out there, boy, people are going to criticize. People are just going to come out of the woodwork to tell you you suck. You know, so you have to know what. It's just like when people give you a compliment. You know, you can get your head really swelled up and be like, "Yeah, I'm number one, and I'm the best." And it's the same with, like, being insulted. It can get you really down. But if you know yourself, it really doesn't matter because you know your strengths and you know your weaknesses and you know who you are. So you know, like, when they say something positive, you're like, yeah, okay, yeah, that's right. They got that. And when they say something that they don't like, you have to understand that it's just their opinion, that they don't know you or you know you and you know your strengths. Yeah.
Right. And what were you going to share a few minutes ago?
Oh, it was about the Suicide Prevention Week, just that if there's anybody listening and it helps people who are going through something, that, you know, that there's no quick fixes that I've found, that you have to first talk. You have to find someone to talk to if you are depressed or having bad feelings, and a friend or a teacher or a therapist, that people really do care, but you have to be afraid to open up. And there are places out there you can go to. I just want to mention to anybody that is having sort of difficulties, there's the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-TALK. And I just, you know, just for anybody who's going through a really difficult time and they don't think there's anybody out there to turn to, there is. There are people, and it's not a quick fix, and it fixes everything, but it's like this interview. It's the first step to hopefully getting somebody who cares.
Well, that I'm glad that you shared that, because I know that there are listeners out there who may be, you know, suffering from certain things, and for you to be able to say, hey, here's a number, and give tools for them to be able to get help, I think that's amazing for you to do that.
Thanks. I really know what it's like in our society, especially being a guy. You know, guys are supposed to be tough and not share their feelings, and by doing that, that's one of the ways we get isolated and think that we're freaks or we're bad, and that just makes you spiral even further into whatever kind of situation you're spiraling into. And you just got to know that there is people who care. That's
okay.
One of the reasons I'm doing the show on events.
Right.
Okay.
Well, once again, I want you to give the listeners your social media and website information once again.
Okay, so hi everyone, this is Kesh, and I'm with Jadar Entertainment. You can find my new music at Jadar Entertainment Music Group, and if you're interested in coming to see me, I will be playing with Lena, yes, the fabulous Lena, and we'll both be opening for Macy Gray on this Friday in Newport at the Hyatt.
Okay, and at this time, at this time, if you wanted to give any shout-outs or thank yous or anything, you can do that at this time.
Oh, thank you. Okay, I'd like to thank Janet and Charlotte, if you're listening, for giving me the opportunity to sing for you on your label and for being good, the support that you've so far. Thanks a lot, guys.
Okay, and lastly, did you want to share?
Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, you're welcome. I wanted to ask if you had anything else you wanted to add, something that I may not have, you know, touched on or anything.
I think I'm good. How about you? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a break, guys, and we're going to hear a song by an artist named Lena, and the song is called Come to Me, and we'll be right back with you.
I'm without you.
Loving you, I'm gonna miss all of you.
And call out my name.
of Success Radio. Your choice, your voice radio. You can log in at www.blogtalkradio.com/Faces of Success Radio or call in and listen to speak to our special guest at 718-664-6324. For your special appearance on our show, call 1-866-458-5523, extension 101. Sure to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Faces of Success Radio. Your choice, your voice radio.
It's TJ's R&B Music Lounge.
Welcome back to TJ's R&B Music Lounge. I'm your host, Tanisha, and that was Freddie Jackson, and it was Rock With Me. And I am just excited about this part of our show. We have a special, special guest, and I'm going to go ahead and let him introduce himself to you guys. Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. I wanted you to go ahead and introduce yourself to the listeners, tell them who you are, and a little bit about you.
Well, listener audience, my name is Brother Reggie. That's what everybody call me. I am a Christian or inspirational radio station owner, which is based out of Charlotte, North Carolina. I am originally from Washington, D.C. I have been in the music industry probably about 30 years or something like that. I started on the secular side. I work with people such as Donnie Simpson, Russ Parr, Tom Joyner, just to name a few. Then I graduated to start DJing at nightclubs and DJing, opening up for people such as Jay-Z or Tupac and Lil' Kim and all those things. And now in 2002, I was introduced to gospel radio, and I've been doing gospel radio ever since. And I launched my own station, which is a internet radio station, which is doing real good, about 4 years ago. My pastor, who is Pastor John P. Key, I went to him with my vision, and he said it's a good idea, and I rolled with it. And ever since then, I've been doing great things with my inspirational station, Rejoice America Radio. I call it inspirational instead of gospel because I believe that all music can touch somebody without Jesus or God in it. So as long as it's positive words and positive music, that's what I play on my internet station.
Excuse me one second. Hold on one second. I don't know what happened, but I just started coughing. Okay. Well, I want you to give the listeners your social media and website information.
Well, my website is rejoiceamericaradio.org, and you can find, we have a Rejoice America Radio fan page, and my name is Brother Reggie Rich. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Social Cam. You can Google me, YouTube. Everything is Brother Reggie, and you can find me there.
Well, I am just excited that you are on the show on today. I said maybe I got all choked up because I'm excited that you're on the show. But when I met you, I was just inspired about everything that I saw and, you know, your vision and how you didn't just, you know, look at it. You started doing it. And
right,
so
right.
I want to speak to the listener that's out there that may be going through that same moment that you were when you had that vision and passion in your heart and you didn't know what to do with it. So I want you to speak to that listener.
You know, I always, like I mentioned earlier, I always been in the entertainment and I always been around radio. I have been around some of the best people in radio in the D.C. area. So as I was growing into radio, I did everything from sales to promotions to voiceovers to radio announcers to on-air personalities to being general manager to being a manager. I think I've been at also doing production. I think I've been at every position in my career of radio. So one day I decided I want to start my own internet station. To be honest with you, I used to be on Blog Talk Radio when Blog Talk Radio first launched. And I was on Blog Talk Radio for I think for like 2 or 3 years straight. I had like 3 or 4 shows a day playing inspirational music. That's how dedicated I was to what I do. And then somebody came up to me and introduced internet radio to me. I said, well, that sounds great. Let me talk to somebody who knows the music industry, who was my mentor on the gospel side, which was Pastor John C. Key. I went to him and said, this is what I want to do. What do you think about it? It was brought to my attention. He said, you can do it. He said, you can do it. Only thing you got to do is go get your license, go to the courthouse, get your name, patent, all that stuff. And I rolled with it, and ever since then, I've been doing the same thing and helping other people start their own internet radio stations. And again, I didn't know nothing about internet radio until I was interviewed on a Blog Talk radio show, and it was like, I think it's probably about 7 years ago, something like that. And then I just took Blog Talk radio seriously by doing Christian shows. Back then, I got an award for the number one Christian show on Blog Talk Radio, and back then it was like 500 shows. I don't know what it is now, but it was 500 shows on Blog Talk Radio. And back then they used to have people who worked for Blog Talk Radio to come in your chat room to tune in and stuff. And I think I really saved or blessed some of them. The next thing I know, I'm where I'm at today.
Right. And I think that's a true example of your gift will make room for you. So, listeners, whatever your gift is, don't be afraid to step out there and use your faith. Faith is something that you can't see. Wouldn't you say that's correct?
You're right about that, because everything I'm doing right now, I would never in my 1,000 years think that I would own a radio station. I would never think that I would be on a Christian station. Keep in mind now, I was with the secular side, you know, playing, you know, hanging out with those folks, and I never thought that I would be doing a Christian radio station. Me? No, not me. But it's what happened, man. I believe that, you know, God had things in store for you that you never know about. And he had this for you a long time ago. Now it's just my season to do what I do as far as my radio station. Another thing that I do is I try to help a lot of artists who don't have record deals, who don't know the industry. I try to help them and educate them, but I definitely would give them radio airplay. You know, this time of season, a lot of artists want to be heard on the radio. But at the same time, I want to educate them and tell them what they need to do to really go to the next level.
Right, right. And I think that's great that you're doing that because, like you said, there are a lot of great, talented artists with great gifts. And so for you to use the platform to give them that opportunity, that's amazing. I wanted to ask, when did you know that, you know, you had this, this vision, as far as when you started the internet radio, when did you know that you were really doing it? When did you know that, you know, you really had it going?
I knew I had it going on when I had a lot of people telling me. You know, keep again, my strong point outside of radio is promoting. I'm old school, so I did a lot of promoting back in the days when there wasn't no Facebook, there wasn't no MySpace, there wasn't no YouTube, and I still use that strategy, which means that I hit the streets. I got a street team. That's the first thing I hired with me was a street team. So I made some flyers, had somebody do some flyers. My brother is a graphic design person, so I didn't have the money then, so I contacted my brother and said, look, man, I need some flyers. He created one for me. I went and got some copies made, and everywhere there was a concert, because I do a lot of traveling, I promoted and gave out flyers, and then people was tuning in and called in the station, requesting music, telling me they love my station. And then once I got introduced, and then once I got on the social medias, I tried to take advantage of that too. But I'm old school. I like the streets. And I put both of them together, and it was history, man. Now I got other people who put shows on my radio station. I allow that. I'm playing a lot of people music, again, that these people never, ever been on radio before. Tell their Facebook friends or their Twitter friends to bring a lot of listeners to my station. I don't charge no money because I love what I do. It's just been growing like that. I think that a lot of people, or me myself, is growing because I have been a blessing to other people without asking for money. You know what I mean? I don't know if that makes sense or not, but
right.
I always want to help people and don't have to expect to receive something from somebody else. It's hard to explain what I'm really trying to say. If I bless you without asking you for some money, blessings going to come somewhere else, and it don't have to be money.
Right. It's so just better to give than to receive. And I do believe if you give, that it will come back to you. So I think that's a great, great thing that you're doing.
Yep, that's, and that's true, man. I would never have known for all this stuff that's happening to me right now that's happening, man. And I'm talking about the good things. I could never imagine that, you know, there's a lot of major artists that I used to listen to as a child, or my parents used to listen to music-wise on the gospel side. And I never knew who these artists was, but now, which is like, what, 10, 12 years later, a lot of these artists I can call personally on my phone. And it's just a blessing, man. It's just a blessing.
Right. Well, I wanted to ask, who was your life inspiration and why?
My life inspiration was, I guess it got to be my parents. My mom and dad, they will be celebrating 50 years of marriage in April. They had been my backbone. They had been by my side when I wasn't doing right, you know what I mean? When I was doing the wrong things in the streets, they was the one who told me, well, you got to stop doing this. You shouldn't be doing that. But I was hard-headed. Especially when I left the home, I was hard-headed. I didn't want to listen to them. So I had to find out for myself. And through the things that I was doing, I ended up in bad situations. I ended up in bad places. And it was an eye-opener when I said to myself, I should listen to my mama and my daddy. So as of today, they still support me. They still got my back. They never left me. And I got a strong family. So my family is really who is my support at everything that I do, and they always have my back, and I can always depend on them.
Right. And so what would you say separates you from other radio on-air personalities as well as owner of an internet radio station? What would separate you and your network from other people?
I think that, not trying to put anybody else down, I think that the difference between me and a lot of other internet station owners that I know, a lot of these other stations try to be the same way as the FM radio stations or the FM or the AM stations. There's a lot of internet station owners who never worked in the radio before. And I think that's the difference between me. And another thing difference between me is that I play anybody's music, long as the quality is good. I will play the music, long as it's inspirational music. And a lot of other internet station owners, they'll play like a lot of the top major artists that they hear about. I'm a firm believer that there are some artists who is not known that are more vocally skilled than a lot of artists that we hear on the regular on the bigger radio stations. So I just want to give everybody a break. Not saying other stations don't. But my station is totally different from a lot of other stations. I was told by an old wise man, I never forget, it was these guys who used to play chess. There was some old men, they used to drink their beer, they never mess with nobody, and they was on the corner in the hood in Washington, D.C. And he told me, young man, I don't want you to be like me when you get older. But I can tell you this, in order to be successful, you have to be different. Because if you be like everybody else, everybody going to look the same. And I took that, and to this day, I still put that with me everywhere I go. I got to the point that my son, who is 14 years old, he's a basketball player, he's a basketball star, football star, and I tell him the same thing. But he'll go play football games and basketball games and have on mishmash socks. And I used to say, son, why you got on mishmash socks? Or he'll wear these bright yellow socks, man. Bright red socks or purple and green socks. I said, son, why are you doing that? He said, Daddy, because you told me in order to be successful, I have to be different. So when he's on the basketball court or on the football field, all eyes are on him.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I really do believe that. So I think that's why my career is going the way it is, because I do a lot of things that other stations don't do. I play sermons on my station. I interview a lot of artists. Matter of fact, I'm about to interview. I heard an interview you just did with a young man on the phone. He was talking about Don Cornelius and the things that he's doing. Artists like that, I would play on my station. Matter of fact, I am about to interview an old R&B artist by the name of Melba Moore. You remember her?
Yes, I heard of her. Yes.
I'm about to interview Mabel Moore. So it shows that on my station I interview anybody as long as they got inspirational music. So I'm about to interview her. I'm about to interview Nicki Minaj's mother because a lot of people don't know Nicki Minaj's mother got a gospel song out. So just got to be different.
Right, right. Well, I'm glad that you shared that because, it, like you said, you have to be original. You have to do something different in order for you to pretty much stand out because the way that the world is, it says that, like with us, with Christians, we're supposed to be set apart and different from anyone else. And so I believe that's how your gift will shine. With any gift, it's you have to be different. So I'm glad that you shared that. I wanted to also ask you, what do you want your legacy to be?
I want my legacy to be that I am a person who reaches out and tries to help anybody. I got a motto. It's even on my website. It says, I'm just a nobody trying to help everybody. And I want people to remember that that's the person that I am. And, again, you got a lot of people in the industry as of today because of social network technology has changed. A lot of things people do these days, it's a price to it. You know, I know we all have to eat. I understand that. But still, me, I just like to help people, man. If there's a charge for anything, I can't charge them a lot of money for what I do. But I just like to help people, man. I'm the type of person, if I see somebody that work harder than me, I won't charge them no money at all for my services. It's just that I believe that we work together, we grow together. And a lot of people
right.
in today's society don't believe that.
Right. And I can truly honestly say that from the first time that I met you, you know, speaking with you over the phone, you were very helpful. You know, gave me all the information, you know, on what you did and how I should do it and just even giving me creative ideas. And I really appreciated that because at that particular moment, I was needing help and I was seeking opportunities like, okay, God, what do I need to do? And he highlighted you. You know, and to contact you. And you gave me some great information, and it has really helped me from the moment that I talked to you even up until now. So I can truly honestly say that I have been impacted, you know, by you giving out to others as well.
And by you saying
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I said, by you saying that, I think that's the reason why I'm still getting blessed, man. I'm getting blessed, the people that's around me getting blessed because in my circle, my staff, everybody's like me. I train them to be like me. Trust me that everybody that works for me have never worked in radio before. Never. I think it's like eight of us. They have never worked in radio before. And I train them to be a giver, to not try to get over on people, and just love what you do. Because me training them, who knows, one day they'd be good enough to go to the next level. And again, it's all about being a blessing to others, and the blessing's going to I'll fall right back on you.
Right, right. Well, I wanted to get you to share your social media information once again and also, you know, how people can find you as far as your network and just different things like that.
Okay, my website again is rejoiceamericaradio.org. If you Google Brother Reggie, you'll find everything. If you Google Rejoice America Radio, you'll find everything. I am the owner of Rejoice America Radio. On Facebook, I am Brother Reggie Rich. On Twitter, Brother Reggie. All these, everywhere, just Brother Reggie. I even found my even old MySpace passcode now. You can find me on Brother Reggie on MySpace. And if you're trying to contact me, the number to the radio station is area code 704-900-5424. And again, I play all types of inspirational music. That's why I'm changing the name of my station. It used to be Gospel Station, but I switched it over, I guess, earlier this year to Inspirational Station because I believe that inspirational music is inspirational music. And that's
right,
what I do.
Right. Well, I think I'm glad that you even, you know, said that because with me, I originally was introduced to doing an inspirational show and a gospel show, and then I was offered this platform, and it allowed me to be able to still use the platform because most of the artists or people that I'm interviewing, they'll bring up their experiences or, you know, something about God. So it allows me to reach listeners that I normally wouldn't have reached, you know. And so I do know that, you know, every opportunity that's given to us, we should be open, you know, and at least try to do different things. And so, like, you're being different with not having it being gospel or, you know, naming it a particular thing except saying inspirational. So I think that's a great tool as well.
Yeah, you know what? I got a question to ask you. I think somebody inboxed me and asked me what is the call-in number. I don't know that number. Can you, is that where you can give it out? I don't know the call-in number.
Oh, okay. It's the same number. I'm pretty sure it's this number that I see on there, and I was going to take that call in just a few minutes. I usually try to make sure that I'm getting enough far as the interview of the guest. Did you want me to bring that person in on the line?
I don't know who it is. I don't know if that's the same person, but it don't matter. Anybody want to call in? I just thought maybe people listening probably on their cell phones or something don't know it's the same number. I don't know.
Okay.
It's up to you.
hold on one second. We're going to go ahead and play a quick song real quick, and then I'll bring Brother Reggie back in. One second. We'll be right back with you.
Is champ, a heavyweight like 12 rounds of beef with the bass. In your face, you on the pavement. My statement, it's only yet to be made. So I say poison, exercise the right amount of patience. There's no containment, I'm blameless. In a wicked and perverse generation, we're taught artificial insemination gets praised. And not to mention the men and women becoming a statistic of rape. I gotta say what I gotta say with no congressional debate. Get it off my chest, express where I profess my faith. In this day and age, it's not proper to go against the grain. But obviously some of these trends are still the same.
Generation
saver,
I wanna hit you with a generation saver.
In this opportune time to shine like a dime piece with every reason to rhyme and cease the critics, tune your frequencies. The hand that I've been dealt has never affected me more, only to push me through the door. Who says that I can't make it? Make it my world, making my passion. I made my life disastrous, motivating me on, spawn from what I chose to cherish. And counting every victory and all my failures, we're all meant to succeed, overachieve, breed the confidence to one day we can see that poverty may flee the continent. Honestly,
it's TJ's R&B Music Lounge.
Welcome back to TJ's Army Music Lounge. I'm your host, Tanisha, and we are joined with Brother Reggie from Rejoice America Radio. And at this time, we're going to go ahead and bring in a caller that's been waiting on the line. Hello,
hi,
caller.
Thank
how are you doing?
I am okay, doing absolutely great. Thank you. And yourself, how are you?
I'm doing wonderfully well. What's your name?
My name is Elizabeth.
Okay. Well, we have Brother Reggie on the line, and he can ask some questions or comments if you want at this time.
Yes. Brother Reggie, what would you suggest to the most important things to an independent artist to do to really get out and be known? What are some of the things that you would get them to do?
I think first of all, they have to do their legwork as far as promoting themselves, which means, like I said earlier, get some flyers made and pass them out everywhere they go. I keep flyers in my car, and I've been in the industry for a long time. I still keep flyers in my car. So I think that's the first thing is to get some flyers, pass them out. The way technology is now, they have to build your fan base on social network sites. And also, they have to remember that nobody believes in their vision more than they do. So they got to just be a hard worker. Especially if you don't have no money, you're on a low budget. So I always tell artists to hit the streets, man, and do the street thing along with the social network site. So, like I said, I still do it as of today. Even though I got an inspirational station, I still go to concerts where Lil Wayne is at and put flyers on the cars. Like I'm here in Charlotte. We just had a Panthers football game. I go to events like that, to the parents or to the baseball games or to the I was at a hotel one time and they had a big wedding going on and I passed out flyers because I kept flyers with me. I drive on the beltway. Anytime I pulled over to a rest area, I'm putting out flyers. So you have to keep flyers with you at all times and pass them out everywhere you go.
Would you suggest some networking events or things that they should participate in or and also educational?
Yeah, any way you can show your talent. I think I heard a young man she interviewed earlier say sometimes you have to invest in yourself. You have to be able to go and try to get on platforms where people can hear you. Sometimes it might take a year or two to spend your own money to travel for hotel. As long as you're in the venue where people can hear you, that's the main thing. I think a lot of people have been successful by doing a lot of fundraiser concerts, being online with a lot of fundraisers or like Breast Cancer Month. You know, if there's a breast cancer event, get on that concert. Prostate cancer, HIV, AIDS, go up there and do these free shows, man. You'll see how many people will support you.
Okay.
Well, Brother Reggie, we're going to have to get ready to wrap up the show. At this time, I wanted you to go ahead and give your shout-outs, and once you do the shout-outs, give out your social media once again. And then I wanted to also thank the caller for calling in with those great questions. Those were great.
Thank you for allowing me to ask.
All right. Thank you. Let me send a shout-out. Who I'm going to send a shout-out to everybody. I don't want to be send a shout-out to no specific person, but to everybody. I got to thank God because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be where I'm at now. So thank you, everybody who's tuning in right now, those who are listening to the archives later. Thank you. If you are an artist and you want your music played on my station, you can call me at 704-900-5424. My website is rejoiceamericaradio.org. The contact information is all up there. Contact my assistant. She will direct you to where you got to go. And again, I'm here to help people get to the next level or help my listeners be blessed by the music that they hear.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you, Brother Reggie, again for being a guest on the show. It's been great. And like I said, I have truly been blessed by you. And so most of you listeners that's out there, check out Brother Reggie. I know you will love what you hear. He has a great, awesome platform. So thank you again for tuning in to TJ's R&B Music Lounge. We'll be back again next week. Be blessed.
All right. Wow.
www.blogtalkradio.com/Faces of Success Radio or call in and listen to speak to our special guest at 718-664-6324. For your special appearance on our show, call 1-866-458-5523, extension 101. Be sure to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Faces of Success Radio. Your choice, your voice radio.